Hi, my name is Michael Poley, and I've never seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer. My friends are obsessed and always make jokes and references to it, and so now, 20 years later, I've been convinced to watch the show from beginning to end, one episode a week. I'm a Buffy virgin. Well, hey, my name is Michael Poley, and welcome to another episode of Buffy Virgin. In this episode, we watched episode 6, season 1, The Pack, which aired originally April 7th, 1997. So today we have a special guest. It's Kristen. She's a lifelong student. Kristen, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
It's great. And Kristen's also a Buffy virgin. And actually, she's more of a virgin than me, since she's only seen one other episode of Buffy, which is the previous episode. So also on the show, we have John, a school teacher.
Hey, everybody.
Dennis, a cartoonist.
Hey, buy my comics.
And Dr. Travis Frog.
Hi, everyone.
So we're going to do something a little bit different this episode. We are going to jump right into talking about The Pack. I'm just going to have a very general description of the episode, and then I want to get, Kristen, I want to get your observations about this episode. So,
But before we do that, there's someone we want to thank.
Oh, you're right. I totally forgot. So we actually had a review of our podcast. It was a 5-star review from December 6th, 2016. And we want to thank BlueBoy85, who gave us a 5-star review. So thank you, BlueBoy. Dr. Frog wants to invite you to be on the podcast. So, you know, please message me. I'm at Michael Poley on Twitter, and give me your contact info, and we'll find a way to get you on the podcast. We would love to hear your opinion of this. And apparently you love TV-related podcasts. We looked at your other reviews. Anyway, thank you so much.
We're not stalking you. That'd be weird.
It was some very safe surveillance that we did not go in the dark web to get the complete story. So let me just say that up front. No, we actually are really excited, for you to be on the show. So please message Michael Poley. There may be several dozen of them on Twitter, but eventually, if you bug them enough with Buffy the Vampire Slayer things, you'll find the right Michael Poley.
I think there's only one other Michael Poley on Twitter, and I think he's a school teacher that teaches physics.
You know, I heard, you know, BlueBoy85 may, in fact, have been scanned into the internet from a book. We don't really know.
So,
in which case, an invitation might be dangerous.
This is another Buffy reference. All right. So season 1, episode 6, The Pack, is a Xander episode. And it's about Xander and a bunch of his fellow classmates, members of a gang of bullies, get possessed by a hyena spirit, and they wreak havoc on the school. Eventually, of course, Buffy and the gang are able to stop them. There's some kooky hijinks that take place, some of it a little bit racist, some of it not so racist, and it all gets wrapped up at the end, with Xander being and the rest of the gang being released from their possession. In the meantime, unfortunately, a few people die and a pig. So, Kristen, what did you think of this episode, and what did you think about what it says about teens and bullying and gangs? What were your first thoughts about this episode?
Well, okay, so I'm a Buffy virgin, but I do watch a lot of other TV, and I've made it through a few seasons of The Walking Dead, although I'm not up on the most recent season. But I would say a big theme of that show is that the humans are actually scarier than the zombies. And I think this episode of Buffy was maybe trying to get at the idea that maybe the everyday teenagers in high school are pretty awful. They might even be worse than vampires. I don't know. It's maybe a little bit of a stretch. But this episode was a lot better than the first episode I watched, which was the previous episode. It had hyena, transpossession, dodgeball, an amazing zoologist. And a lot of heartache and bullies, plus some cannibalism. So that was pretty exciting, right?
So was it an unexpected episode for you? I mean, you'd think Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's going to be about vampires. And this, there's no vampires in it. Did just the subject of like something non-vampire related surprise you a little bit?
Yes, I was very surprised at how quickly the show goes into other kinds of monsters. Because I was expecting at least the first season to only be about vampires, and about the main vampire, what is the master? I was expecting it to be a part of every episode. And so this one really feels like a departure from that. And it feels like it's a character development episode, which surprised me.
So what do you think of Xander, having seen these two episodes back to back, where Xander is kind of a jerk? He's kind of awful in this episode. I'm saying, what do you think? And I'm gonna tell you what I think. But like, I feel like people love Xander, and he's like this beloved, endearing character. But if you only see these two episodes, he's the worst character. There's this coding of him in some of his funny dialogue that you think like, oh, maybe he's this really funny, charming guy. They just don't know how to write him yet. But if you just watch these first two episodes, or rather these two episodes, he's a terrible, awful human being.
Right. And I would say, I think Xander is the character, the everyday person that you're supposed to relate to the most. And yet he's entirely unrelatable because he's terrible to the women in his life. And he tries to be heroic when he goes and tries to save the nerdy kid from the bullies. But then he ends up getting wrapped up into the bullying all too easily. So I would say that, yeah, he's pretty awful. So I think they failed at making him this everyday relatable person for these two episodes that I've seen.
And what did you think? Now I'm jumping ahead to kind of a very specific scene in this. So there's the pig, you know, is like this school mascot that gets consumed by, you know, Xander and this gang. And then when they're confronted by Flutie, the principal, they go and attack him and eat him. Xander's not present, because meanwhile he is attacking Buffy in an unrelated scene. What'd you think of that scene?
Of when Xander is attacking Buffy?
Both scenes, right? But like, what'd you think of the Xander, Buffy, and the cannibal scenes in this episode?
Well, I guess
I was super surprised. I was surprised because I really love Flutie, and I was surprised that the show was cool with killing and eating the principal, because I thought, and you haven't seen enough episodes maybe to know this, but like, he's in earlier episodes of this season, and it's pretty shocking that they get rid of him, and then I assume we'll just replace him with another principal.
Yes. Okay. So that part was really surprising to me as well, because I thought, obviously, this is going to have a greater impact on these students. Like, when these students are officially untranspossessed from their hyenas, they're going to have to grapple with the fact that they ate a person. Not to mention, I think at the end of the episode, Giles says, I didn't read anything about transpossession that says that you have amnesia afterwards. He says that to Xander, and Xander's like, you're right. And they have this your secret safe with me kind of guy moment. But that means that the other four kids that turn into hyenas ate someone and they remember it.
And not only that, but nobody ever really explains to them what's going on. Like, Xander is part of the being aware of this world, but they're not. So they just had this like crazy couple of days where they all went psycho, ate somebody, and then like have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And most of them don't even have names. It's just Kyle. And then these poor unnamed kids who are going to have to live with that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And I mean, it was just a very strange scene where there would be a lot of real life consequences. Like, the school that had a principal eaten by even wild dogs, which was the excuse that they gave. I mean, that would be a pretty significant event in any high school. They'd probably close it for a few weeks. They'd have a funeral. So,
oh, you think there should be a funeral scene at the end of this episode? Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily at the end of this episode. And maybe it's addressed in the next episode. Maybe they have a funeral for Principal Flutie, and there's a mourning period, or there's some sort of idea about, you know, how kids are supposed to act when tragedy strikes their school. But it just seems like there's so little consequence for any of the actions that actually unfold in the episode.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by the lack of apparent consequence as well, because they all have to live with the terrible reality of what occurred in the episode, but the episode wants to wrap it up and not talk about it beyond that. It's like, oh, this just happened to school. Let's keep this to ourselves. You'd imagine it'd be like something terrible that happens at a private school, you know, like where, for instance, you know, a teen girl gets pregnant and has an abortion, and it's like she went on a trip to Japan or whatever euphemism they use to explain what happened. Like, oh yeah, principal's attacked by wild dogs. there's also, so I was really shocked watching this again about the Xander Buffy scene, because I didn't realize how much of a rape scene this is. I think when I first watched it, I was so shocked by the cannibalism scene and like turning on Flutie, and that how in my mind I was like, well, Xander can't be there because Xander's still good and we like Xander, so he can't do something so evil that he becomes a bad guy to the show. So he has to be separated. But the way they separate him is to have him almost rape Buffy, because we know how much he wants to get with her. And I guess that was really shocking to me, that that scene was a preferred outcome. And again, you know, Xander remembers the things that he did. And then, as you said, last episode, one of your predictions was that Xander was going to eventually try to go on dates with Buffy and eventually ask her out or something, and some awkward scenario would occur because she's not really into him. But like, how could she ever forget that this happened? Like, this is friendship ending stuff, and yet we're not going to address this. And I feel like the show should address it, but it doesn't. Maybe it needs to be addressed in a separate fan fiction.
Well, specifically, like,
because he doesn't apologize for his behavior.
Right. Specifically, Giles lets him off the hook, as you know, which is really upsetting. So, like, Giles, first of all, dismisses the this whole, you know, sort of genre of behavior to begin with at first by just saying, oh, that's how 16-year-old boys act. And yes, it's terrible. You know, he says, you know, he jokes, you know, you'll have to kill him because he's a 16-year-old boy. Yes, it's terrible, but it's also natural and expected, right?
Yeah, I also feel, I think it's funny, like, Giles apparently doesn't understand the nature of this show, that, like, yeah, real things are monsters. Like, he himself forgot the structure of the show.
Like, yes. But then at the end, when he tells, you know, basically what he says, like you said, he says to Xander, oh, your secret's safe with me, because it's embarrassing, I guess. And he kind of smirks, like he kind of gives it like a little bit of a laugh, you know, sort of reinforcing this idea that, like, oh yeah, I did terrible stuff when I was 16. It's just what sort of growing up is. And yeah, it's awful that I'm more disappointed in Giles in this episode than I am in Xander. Like,
forgive me if I'm wrong, but at the end of the episode, basically when they're all about to go through this hyena trans possession and get back to their normal high school lives, doesn't Xander kind of wake up and come to Willow's aid first? Like, almost like the strength of their bond and friendship helps him sort of snap out of it a little earlier than the other hyena teenagers.
It's not completely wrong. This episode is also definitely about Willow and Xander's relationship, because there's a number of scenes, in particular, you know, the dodgeball scene, you know, like right immediately after that, where Xander kind of turns on Willow and says, like, and, you know, to his friends, you know, basically as the audience, it's like, hey, you know, you're nothing to me. I mean, he doesn't say that. It's more of a corny, funny line, but, like, you know, you don't matter, and I'm glad I can finally tell you that. And, you know, and there's definitely, like, a moment earlier when, you know, Willow and Buffy are hanging at the Bronze, and they're talking about boys, and Willow is anticipating Xander showing up because she likes him, and he's, again, super rude to her. And it's disappointing in his behavior, and it's upsetting. It's not even that, like, it's an inversion of the relationship, which it is, but it's kind of upsetting. Cause, like, this Willow Xander thing, we kind of expect to happen. At least I expect it to happen at some point in the show, you know, though it appears it's going to happen, like, in the order where Xander is going to go after Buffy and try and date her. Something will go wrong, and then Willow will be the fallback girl, you know, for him, if it happens at all. And here, like, I don't think we've seen Willow be as interested in Xander, so they really set her up for failure in this episode. They really want to set it up like she really likes him, and he's going to shut her down cold in the most cruel way possible, which is about the main theme, which is about, you know, bullying, and about how, you know, again, it's excused as male behavior, but, like, how, you know, like when you're in a group of people, you know, it's easy to, maybe it's easier to be cruel because you're trying to impress this group of people, right? And that's the part that I think as a teenager you're supposed to relate to, that feeling of like, that feeling of cruelty that I think we all kind of had experienced at some point at either, especially in high school, when you're cruel to somebody because you've got this group of people behind you kind of encouraging you to act out in a really negative way.
Well, I think there's a couple of different things going on, but you know, I think Mike, when we were talking about cruelty, I think this episode is really trying to just highlight that cruelty consists, it's a continuum. There's a continuum of cruelty. There's a continuum of human behavior. Here, they're trying to make you say, at what point is something not human or inhuman? Like, in what way can you act that is beyond the scope of what we want human society to be, and is therefore inhuman or animal? Like, so that's, I think that's part of it. But Kristen, this is Travis. I just have a question for you. We haven't asked this before, but do you like horror movies or horror television? What type of episode is this to you? Is this horror? Is this fantasy? What do you think this episode is?
Well, I think that it definitely spans the horror genre for the show, even though the show tends to be more fantasy, just because of the cannibalism. I mean, the cannibalism definitely knocks it into another kind of realm for me. And do I like horror? I do like horror movies as a genre, but I think Michael knows this, that I have a crazy overactive imagination and I'm sometimes really sensitive to horror movies. So there are movies that have given me nightmares and,
I hope you don't get nightmares from the pack.
No,
but I can understand if you might.
I guess the question is like, what part of the horror in the pack really, that you really liked? Like what, like, 'cause there's a bunch of different things that happen and I don't think we all like them, or we certainly have our favorite parts of the horror. Like, what to you was the best horror moment? That's what I was sort of curious.
I think the scariest moment is when Xander and Buffy are having their confrontation. It really feels like he's stronger than Buffy, and something dangerous could really happen to her. Other than that, I also like when Willow's running away, trying to escape the pack in the school, and she's going from room to room trying to decide in the hallway how she's best going to hide. And when she climbs under the desk and Xander comes in with another hyena girl and they smell the room and they kind of scope it out, and then it sounds like they both leave because they've both identified that no one's there and she's successfully hid. She gets up and Xander's right there. And so that was probably the scariest moment. And it was well done. I thought, and as far as building the suspense, that I found myself pulled into that part of it.
I wanted to bring up the timing issue. You brought up the scene where Xander gets depossessed and then goes to rescue Willow immediately. And I think there's just a bad editing in that scene where you see everybody, all the other kids' eyes flash. And you see a shot where Xander's eyes are supposed to flash, but they don't. So I think that's just bad editing that makes it confusing about when he gets depossessed versus the others. So I just think that's just bad on the show's part for, you know, being sloppy. Yeah.
I thought one of the weird scary moments is when Willow, Xander is in a cage or whatever, and Willow hears her voice being called, which is a callback to like the crazy zookeeper character. Again, you know, we're, you know, just like in the last episode we discussed, you know, we kind of like minimalized the discussion of the supernatural, like kind of monster characters. In this episode, the zookeeper's totally minimal villain, but it's just a little scary when they say her name in Xander's voice and it, you know, kind of freaks her out. And then before the attack, whatever. And I thought that was kind of a cool, I was surprised they made reference to it, that they made that real as a thing hyenas do, which is also a really scary concept, but it's delivered in the weakest way possible. I feel like the way that's set up, you know, the zookeeper tells this creepy story about what something hyenas do to trap humans, and then like it's punctuated with this just really shitty African synth, like like literally there was probably like an Africa mode and a keyboard and that button. And it's just like, ugh, that just takes away all the creepiness of.
Also, I mean, just the thing of like, oh, it would be totally spooky if an animal knew your name. It's not as spooky when like humans have the ability to call a name. Oh my God, this amazing power I gained from animals. My ability to recognize faces with names.
So what's the zookeeper's plan? He's going to, how is he going to take over the world?
He just wants to be a primal, which, yeah. I mean, definitely, why do you want to be a hyena? Like, you definitely get dumber.
And he's operating alone. Clearly, hyenas need to be in packs. Like, his crazy plan to absorb all of their power, like, they're going to do crazy things, and then they're going to consume power, and then he's going to consume their power. This sounds like a Renfield plan. Like,
yeah, no, the pack thing is a good point, but I think that it's clear that the, like, this, you know, the gang of Gap models from Sunnydale High seem to be enjoying themselves, right? Like, you know, and they always look good even after they've, like, killed a human being with their bare hands.
Yeah, and eaten a pig that they described it as crunchy. And I'm like, what part of the pig is crunchy? Is it bones? Are they eating bones?
Didn't seem like there was any trace left. It was just, like, the bent up cage, right?
Then how did they know the pig's been eaten? Can I talk about my theory?
Yeah.
An appropriate time. So we all know that Donald Trump's kids are quote unquote big game hunters, right? Like there's photos of them killing defenseless animals in Africa. So it totally makes sense to me that the entire Trump family are members of a pack, that they got a hyenid. They have the aggression. They bully the weaker, right? They like make fun of weak people, and we know Trump is probably a rapist. So I just think it makes a lot of sense that they got possessed at some point on one of their big let's shoot animal trips by hyenas.
That's a good conspiracy theory. I think you could write that up and get Russia Today to retweet it. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Occupy Democrats should be all over that.
I would say for me, the best bits of horror or the things that I think work best in this episode that I responded really well to, I always respond very well to Willow screaming in danger. To me, she's like this perfect pitch or perfect tone. I'm not sure which one it is. But when Willow is screaming, to me, that's the true definition of someone's in trouble. So this episode is great for two reasons because of that. And then my favorite scene in the episode is Buffy and Willow talking after Xander was insanely cruel to Willow, and Willow's crying and she's talking to Buffy. I think that's an awesome scene. It's really well lit. the dialogue is excellent. Thank you. Thank you for laughing at me. No, it's really well lit.
No, I was laughing at the well lit part because that's
yeah. with this. And it should be noted because it's so rare that
yes, it's extremely well lit. It's a great location. It feels really honest, like a true conversation between people. And God knows we probably have had each of those conversations ourselves. And then finally, the last bit of this episode that really, 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 really works is the chase scene at the very end where they're chasing Buffy. And I'm going to violate lots of timelines, but there is like at the end of the first season, there's an episode where Buffy is running to the school, running somewhere. And it's, I don't like how it's shot. I don't like the tempo of that scene. I don't like the music of that scene. And actually this episode, The Pack, has to me the best shot, edited music for any sort of chase or run scene in the first season. So I really enjoyed that. And it's sad because it's such a throwaway episode. And I think the main fundamental problem with this episode, why it eventually falls flat, is there's literally nothing learned in this episode. Because they're still in the first season mindset of many, many things are throwaways. And so I guess that's just an issue. Anyways, so like all the problems of Xander remembering all the horrible things he did, This is such the first season. They don't actually know how to make the show really, really pop, because later on in the season, in the series, they do have people remember stuff like this, but this is just too early. It's just sad.
Yeah. I feel like this could be a stronger, more important episode if they decided to focus on Xander's lie, but it doesn't seem like they want to do that. So Xander's lie about, you know, whether or not he was possessed, right? Or his memory, rather, of being possessed. He was definitely possessed. But, like, if the very next episode should be an episode about how that he remembers it, and they have to now, Buffy and Willow have to agree that, like, or he has to apologize for his behavior in some way. Instead, that's not what happens next, you know? It's like, this is a throwaway episode in a Monster of the Week show, when, like, that is actually a bigger teen problem, where it's like, you did something really fucked up to your friends, and it was truly horrific, and now you and your friends are going to agree that it didn't happen in order to save face for everyone involved. You know, whatever it is, like whether, you know, you got in a fight with a friend, or you dated one of their, you know, you dated an ex, or, you know, something fucked up that happened. I feel like I think we have a bit of this in our own relationship. We're like, we're going to not talk about certain terrible things, right? You know, I mean, I say that because we're still friends, which is great. But like, we have to agree, like certain terrible things must be forgivable, or we can't continue to be friends. I mean, we all, and the show kind of jumps over that, which I think is like a big, potentially really big story for them to discuss. And it's just not what the show wants to be about.
The other weird thing about this episode, I think, is they start off with this bullying pack, and then they give the bullies sort of a superpower, which isn't really a very strong superpower. It just makes them a little dumber. It makes them smell hot dogs, and it makes them want to eat their principal. But so, you know, for playing a contrast in a television show, I think it would have been more interesting had they taken a nice person and made that person a hyena. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Xander, and they're trying to say his behavior is really out of character. But so far, I don't really see that as being like true. It just seems like their bullying characters got amplified. And then when they go through their transpossession, they probably go right back to being bullies. So there's no change. There's no, like, they've dramatically shifted to something else, and then they dramatically shift back to who they were. Or it doesn't seem like the bullies learn anything from their experience. We don't even revisit them after they've been transpossessed. So, yeah,
they should totally have spent some time revisiting them in recovery or something.
It just seems like there's a lot of missed opportunity here, that there were opportunities to do interesting things with some of these characters that they didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do an episode about bullying and just show the victory of the bullies, that's not fun.
Well, I mean, it seems like what we're saying here is that, like, the show understands ahead of time and expects us to understand ahead of time, you know, that there are certain characters are the good guys, certain characters are the bad guys, in spite of what they actually may or may not do on screen, right? Because Xander's done all kinds of shit that should disqualify him from being one of the good guys. And the stuff that the bad guy characters do is, you know, I think we're meant to sort of look at that and say, well, they're bad from the beginning, and so they sort of deserve what they get.
That's how important the intro show montage is, right, for establishing who these characters really are. You know, otherwise we'd have no glimpse of Nicholas Brendon acting like a human being.
Right.
You see him smiling in the show intro, so he's cool. Don't worry about him.
The bad guys, though, don't do anything that bad. I mean, there's like some mild teasing, and it's not...
Tell that to Lance.
Yeah, but like the way they treat Lance is not even that much worse than how Buffy treats Cordelia on any given day.
Yeah. You know?
With like this shit in the last episode about like, oh, your hips are wider than I thought. It's like, that's a shitty thing to say.
Yeah. I also think it's funny at the beginning when they're bullying Buffy, like just the things they're bullying her about are generally like, you're really tough and violent. Like, something a bully should be proud of, right? Not like talking to somebody.
Yeah, the teen bullying was not very realistic. It was just like, we could tell they were the bad guys.
Yeah,
and I think
they were slightly too aggressive in dodgeball. Oh no!
Yeah. That's another thing, is it bothers me that there's not any physical transformation. Like, I mean, just because it's a show where there are a lot of monsters and stuff, it would have been nice for them to slowly gain like claws and, you know, bad hyena fur or something.
Yeah, that's why I think this episode was a money-saving episode, because there's no vampires, so there's no vampire makeup. In fact, there's no Cordelia in this episode, right?
Yeah.
There's no Angel, right?
Yeah.
So, no. I just think that maybe they blew their money on the set.
Probably on that zoo visit, making all those signs in Jurassic Park font.
But it's interesting.
Oh no, I was going to say they definitely saved some money with their extended montage of the gang walking, the pack walking, whatever, and just playing 90s alt music and making them look cool as they looked around at different things. Like,
That's I'll buy it by far.
Good job.
Just so you know,
that's in lieu of a scene of them being mean. It's like they're going to act mean. We're not going to show them being mean.
Right? Yeah, they're going to walk in a pack, but be kind of disorganized during the slow-mo walking. Like,
sorry, Kristen, I totally interrupted you.
Oh, no, don't worry about it. I was just going to say that I think the theme of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, having seen just two episodes, so I could be way off base about this, but the overarching theme of the entire show is about how teenagers go through some really hard shit in life. Like, really hard things that keep them separate from their peers and distance them from having really warm, caring relationships. And that Buffy's supposed to be this relatable character that's going through something really hard, and there are adults in her life that don't understand her. It gets in the way of her forming normal relationships. It gets in the way of her feeling like she can have the ideal teenage life that she's always wanted. And I think that this episode in particular just like skirts away from that theme a little bit. And maybe it would be too heavy-handed if they went after that theme every episode, but it just feels like sometimes they dance up to it and then they draw back. And so there's a lot of loose ends hanging about the overall repercussions from this episode, losing the principal and cannibalism, et cetera, and that there's some relationship issues that they're just not addressing. It just feels like they come close to that theme, but then they back off from it.
Yeah, absolutely. If they were to reboot this show today and do this episode again, you'd really want them to like dig their claws in to like the high school relationships.
Literally.
Yeah. And, you know, and maybe push the supernatural elements a little bit to the side and like really dig into some deeper drama, deeper human drama. And then, of course, have it interrupted by, you know, the occasional supernatural elements. But
I mean, which is to say, I think that, like, we're faulting Buffy for not being Buffy enough. I mean, those are the things that, at least for me, that I always liked about it, which is that it employs the supernatural elements as, you know, to some extent as a metaphor for what's going on with the characters or, you know.
Yeah, to the point where the monster doesn't make a lot of sense because they're so focused on it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely...
Which drives me crazy when we've been rewatching it because I'm so much more of a monster guy now than I was when I was originally watching it.
So any thoughts about predictions for what might happen next, Kristen?
Well, because Willow and Xander, they really play up that relationship, that friendship, that... you know, Willow wants it to be more. I think that that's obviously got to go somewhere. And I think someone's going to get their heart broken by the end of the season. I'm predicting that it's Willow. I can't see Willow and Xander being together. But I also feel like knowing that Buffy and Angel have a story arc that I can't imagine Buffy winding up with Xander either. So I feel like there's no clean, obvious couple or romantic arc to this story yet.
I could be wrong.
Some people are destined to be alone.
No, wait, this is really good because I could be wrong. I got to check because I have a spreadsheet of all the predictions that we've made. But I'm pretty sure that, Mike, you predicted that Buffy and Willow do get together. Or no, sorry, not Buffy and Willow. Xander and Willow do get together.
Yeah.
Kristen, you're saying that will not happen. So this is really good. So we can find out who's right, and maybe you guys can make some kind of bet.
Oh, bet?
Yeah. Should we make a wager?
Yeah.
And
I don't.
How long should the wager be good for? Because I feel like these couples could intersect a lot. Like maybe it's a romantic arc between Buffy and Xander for the first season, and then it switches to Xander and Cordelia in season 2, and then
plays Xander Cordelia. Yeah, I don't think that will happen. I think that's a no for me. Unless she gets under some kind of spell, you know, some kind of
spells position. On this show, I doubt it.
Okay, so here's what I have is that in episode 2, Mike, you predicted that Willow and Xander will become an item.
Yes, I still think it's going to happen. Okay.
And okay.
But I think it's going to happen by the end of season 2. I think whatever is going to happen, Willow and Xander will happen at the end of season 2. Season 1, you know, it's a lot of different stories. Everything gets set up. Season 2 for Xander and Willow.
Okay. So I have a wild prediction based on TV shows in general that this is going to flip-flop at some point, and maybe Buffy will have feelings for Xander at a time that she can't act on them.
I disagree. I think that could only happen through magic.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, these are good predictions.
So what do you think about the pack, though? Do you think this is going to happen? This is going to get brought up again in Xander's face that he was possessed, or is this a one-off?
I think that this is a one-off that probably by second season, the creators of the show will kind of want to sweep under the rug. Like that first season, we were just feeling out these characters and feeling out what this was going to be. And they'll quickly want to abandon things that they did in season 1 for something that's more coherent and more intentional in season 2.
Is this their last trip to the zoo? Probably, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. At least, like, maybe they'll have a joke in there somewhere. Like, we don't want to see those hyenas again.
Are we going to have a funeral for Flutie? Is Flutie going to be remembered or discussed in any future episode?
I predict no. I think next episode, they just open with a school and a new principal.
These are good predictions. I like you're really strong in your conviction. Also, your general knowledge of how television works.
I watch a lot of TV.
It's a useful skill.
So what'd you think about the overall review of the episode? What'd you think about the pacing, the acting?
Okay, well, I only have the episode before to compare it to, but in terms of Buffy, I would say this episode was way better than last episode. In terms of action and in terms of pacing and figuring out what to do with characters. Although I think that there are some things that they're struggling with right now, like what kind of character Xander is going to be and what his relationship to Buffy is going to be, what his relationship to Willow is, and how do they develop that without making him look like a controlling, total asshole jerk. So I would say in terms of enjoyment, I got a lot more out of it. Because I thought it was a little bit more fun and interesting, and I thought the zookeeper and the dodgeball scene awesome. I mean, I don't think that they were intended to be as silly as they were, but I enjoyed the silliness of them. And I enjoyed the chase scenes.
They almost ate a woman and her baby. They're just terrible.
Yes. I would say my review of the episode is pretty positive.
Were you sad that Angel wasn't in this episode?
I was not, because again, like I said, because I know he gets a spinoff series, I just assumed he was a later addition to the cast altogether, that like he probably wouldn't even show up till season 2. So it's a surprise that Angel is even in the series at this point to me.
I think we can confirm a prediction. Since I'm looking at the predictions list,
I can confirm like all the predictions, but are we going to confirm them?
No, I mean, one was confirmed in this episode, which is just that in episode 4, Michael predicted that there will be more Xander exploitation. And I think this episode confirms that.
Yes, I think there'll be Xander exploitation in season 2 as well. I think they can't help themselves. Xander is their favorite character exploit, he is teen sexuality. What will horny Xander do next?
That guy will try to fuck anything.
Oh, man. I can't wait till he has sex with... First of all, when they actually have a sex scene, I can't wait till that happens. I feel like they pull back. I want to say, out, but they pull back from any actual sexual encounters so far. It's been very, Sweet Valley High, Nancy Drew, as far as sexuality. But when they actually let sex happen and they de-virginize the cast, that'll be really interesting. And
it will be incredibly interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing Xander have sex with a monster and not know it's a monster. I think
he's inevitable. Wait, is that a prediction, Mike?
Yes, that is a prediction.
You're on fire, Mike.
He's going to have sex with a shape-shifting monster of some kind. He's going to think it's a beautiful woman, and it will be something else. It will be a metaphorical monster for something. I don't know.
How do you like your eggs?
It's interesting. I wonder about how much in future seasons or future episodes we'll have like a very special episode of Buffy where they take on something that's topical, like eating disorders or actual rape, or, you know, like if they have topics where they will get really deep into something and it'll be tragic, and then they'll have consequences in the show for those characters that are part of that.
Gosh, that will be really interesting, because they have a lot of opportunities in season one that they don't take. They don't take the opportunity to really lament about death or about attempted rape. And I wonder if they'll reference the stuff earlier when they ignored something. They're like, oh gosh, yeah, that was really terrible what happened to Susie, made up student name, when she was raped. Hey, Xander, remember when you tried to rape me?
I think that'll be the exact dialogue.
I was possessed. It was an accident.
I don't know why you're ragging on Xander so much, Mike, because you're basically an adult version of him. So,
thank you very much. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Kristen. We'll love to have you back in season two. Maybe we can get Craig as well to get on the show.
Yeah.
But he's got to obey the timeline. He can't just talk about anything in the Buffyverse. He's got to stay, within the realm of the episode that we're talking about. So I'm a little concerned about having him on, but I would really like to have him. He's really.
Can I spoil something that Craig will almost definitely say?
Yeah, please.
It's not spoiling in the show. That
this is a Craig prediction. When Craig is on the show, what will he say?
The guy that sings One Night in Bangkok, Murray Head, is the brother. It's the actor that plays Giles. It's this like point of trivia that comes up between us in the car every time we hear One Night in Bangkok.
That sounds like our ongoing David Boreanaz trivia moment, which is anytime Travis lets us know that he was discovered walking his dog in Hollywood.
I was desperate to shoehorn that little factoid in, so I'm like waiting for the right opportunity. So I decided to exploit Craig.
We will definitely try and bait it out of him when he's on the show and mention that. Isn't there something interesting about Giles?
Giles is such a talented actor. I wonder if his family has any talent.
It sounded like he almost sang a little song. I wonder if it was totally improvised.
Yeah. You can get that out of Craig pretty fast.
I really like the Giles, the opening montage where, I don't know, we'll think of something here. Well, cool. Thanks so much for being on the show. Next episode will be season one, episode 7, which is anybody?
Angel.
The Angel episode. Finally, David Boreanaz gets his moment. I hope he's improved as an actor. I'll stop. I'm sure it'll be a great episode. Can't wait to watch it. All right. Well, we'll see you that time. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Reach out to us at BuffyVirgin.com in the comments section to talk more about Buffy. Anyway, thanks so much. Have a great week.